Jamie Bricker, it's so nice to have you on the phone.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm very well. And Jamie Bricker, you and I kind of have an interaction that goes way back. And it's nice to hear you on the phone. And you're the board president for the Skagway Traditional Council. What are we going to be talking about today?
Well, I think we're here to talk about Skagway Traditional Council's cultural host training program that is new this year.
Okay.
So Skagway Traditional Council is a federally recognized tribal entity, and so we're mostly responsible for running a tribal government, programs and whatnot. But because Skagway is so dependent economically on tourism, it seemed really appropriate to try and interact with industry a little bit to make sure that what's being said about Alaska Native people to our visitors is correct information.
Very much. So, very important.
So I was fortunate enough to sort of come across this program that was initially put together by Alaska Travel Industry Association's Cultural Enrichment Committee, which I also sat on. And the program ended up having some incredible content, and the committee insisted that it be taught by somebody who is Alaska Native and under the umbrella of a tribal entity, whether that's a federally recognized tribe or a tribal corporation. So I requested from Alaska Travel Industry Association to get certified in the program, and they sent their one certified teacher to Skagway. Her name's Rachel Marino from Sitka Tribe, and she came up here to teach the first class, and then we ended up gathering afterwards so that she could teach me the content and certify me to teach it. And so it's been really exciting. I hosted my first cultural host training in December, and I've been trying to schedule something monthly ever since just to get everybody in the door who's interested in learning about this stuff. And it's been an incredible adventure.
And so when you speak of cultural host, we're talking about somebody who can speak about Alaska Native people, in this case in Skagway, knowing that their information they're providing has kind of been curated and is fact-based. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah. And absolutely. And it's not just about the Alaska Native people of Southeast Alaska. We do cover the 274 tribes in Alaska and sort of break that down by region and by, you know, ethnicities and language. And so it's a really cool program.
you know, and Skagway,
it's very interactive.
Skagway has such an amazing connection to a multilingual Alaska Native reality, up the pass, you know, into the interior. And that piece is fascinating to me. It's also here in the Chilkat Valley as well, very much multilingual people who are meeting and trading and interacting with different language groups.
Yeah, with the Chilkoot Trail, I mean, it really was a important location and route for Coastal Tlingits to inland First Nations people for trading. So really rich history in this valley as well for Chilkoot Tlingit people and Chilkat Tlingit people.
Right.
So we do touch on that in the training as well. And Skagway also has some very unique history with the Pius X boarding school here.
Ah.
So a lot of our Skagway Traditional Council members aren't necessarily Tlingit or Haida, for example. I'm a Lutik, and that's because my family ended up here. My grandfather was relocated from Kodiak Island in the 40s when he was only 4 years old, and him and his two brothers spent the remainder of their childhood in Pius X mission here. And that's true of many of our Skagway traditional council members. We are transplants from other places. So I personally really resonate with a program that covers all Alaska Native people.
I see.
We also cover information about land claims and ANCSA, and we discuss land acknowledgments, how to give them, who can give them, what the purpose is. We do some really interactive work through role-playing where, you know, we'll discuss how to respond to a visitor to Skagway who asks a particular question about Alaska Native people, and how do we respond to those things. So it gives people a platform to practice these interactions too, so they get comfortable with the content and they feel comfortable talking about it.
Well, you know, that land acknowledgement is something that, can you kind of flesh out that a little bit? You mentioned that there's sort of a framework for it. Is that correct, what I heard you say?
Yeah, it's something that we want people to understand, and we do hear a lot of it. Actually, I've heard a lot of it all over the country recently. Like,
yes.
I've been to a conference in Las Vegas that opened with a land acknowledgement. And one of the coolest land acknowledgements I've seen to date was one that was done by University of Utah. So it's something that is awakening within our nation. And I think that's true of us in the state of Alaska too. And it's a land acknowledgement is a statement that, you know, recognizes the indigenous ownership of an area and the special relationship that the First Peoples have with their environment. And I feel like it's also a tool for healing and reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Alaska Native community members who acknowledge that, you know, this place was originally untouched and used by the Tjilkoot Tlingit people. And there was some traumas with the way that changed. So there's really is a healing component to it for a lot of people too. And it's really a choice to enter into a mutual, respectful relationship with tribal members, our community, our environment as a whole. Sort of acknowledging that we're all here together now on this traditional land, and, you know, maybe a way to move forward, acknowledging that we're all here together on this, on this traditional land, and that we can all be respectful stewards of this land going forward.
That's
our guests
lovely.
Included.
Yeah. That interactive role play, you know, I worked as a, in a variety of capacities for the Sheldon Museum. No relation. My last name is Sheldon. But that role play part is interesting. Having to interact with people who have almost virtually no experience or knowledge about the area, but do have preconceived notions and sentiments. And how's that go? Talk about that.
Well, we limit the class to 25, and I've had it almost filled each time. And really, we just propose a series of questions, like if a guest asks, "Why is Alaska Native art so expensive?" how do we respond to that? You know, in a very respectful and hospitable way, where we're becoming teachers and not necessarily having to be defensive about it, just that we're being proactive about it, making sure that people get the right information.
Right.
And so we're able to work that through the group and get, you know, 25 different perspectives from people in the room or how they would answer it. And
That's a great example. That's a really great example, you know. The you know, Haynes had its own boarding environment here with Haynes Mission and Haynes House, and it's always been, you know, and in some ways our telling of history has evolved, how we tell history, that we're looking at through a lens that's being modified month to month, year to year, as we change into a more inclusive society, I think. And the telling of these stories through not the colonizer's view is very important. Could you talk about that?
Yes. Skagway Traditional Council has been on a long and sometimes painful path to reconcile some of the Pius X school history here in Skagway. To date, the tribe does not have complete enrollment records for the school. So, you know, for the 30 plus years that it operated, we don't know who arrived at the doorstep, when they left, and how. And so we have been on our own mission to try and establish school records. And what that means is that our staff has spent time in museums in Victoria and in Anchorage, in archives, pulling as many records as we can. And, you know, sometimes that means photographing 2,500 documents that we've never seen and then trying to work our way through it by building a student profile for anybody's name who pops up and reconstructing those student profiles for that school so that we have those enrollment records and we can understand who attended. And
Are those enrollment records in different places? You know, maybe you don't know where all those places are, or are they in you know, something that the is it either a state or federal archive, or is it a Catholic archive?
It's interesting. We've searched everywhere from, you know, Anchorage to BC to Washington, D.C. I've been to Washington, D.C. pleading for help to find some of these records. And part of the idiosyncrasy that lies in looking for these things is that during Pius X Mission's operation, Alaska was not a state yet. It was owned and operated by Father Gallant, who did a lot of fundraising for the school. But we also had to prove that there were federal dollars provided to the school, which we have, to find federal records of it. But it was also run by the Sisters of St. Anne, which was a Catholic organization based out of Canada. So it has been a bit of a goose chase trying to put all of these things together.
Yeah.
Plus, there were several fires, as seems to be the case with some of these records. So it's just been really labor intensive to try and locate them. And then for those records that do exist, a lot of them are not digital yet. So the ones that we have found are the ones that, you know, our staff ends up going into a basement somewhere and digging through dusty old boxes to try and recover what we can.
Wowie, that is such important work to complete. And I'm sure it's not cheap to do that. You know, that's some serious time and archival work and travel and lodging, et cetera. It's not an inexpensive undertaking.
Yeah, we understand the importance of it, though, to reconstruct history through the Native perspective. I mean, to date, you really can't find history written from perspective that isn't the church's perspective. And it's very different when you talk to people that attended.
And I think of, in the case of Haynes, Ernestine Hayes, Ernestine Hayes' work, Juno, a Juno woman whose family members attended Haynes' house, and her writing of being a Native child, born in the 40s, and Ernestine would be, I assume, in her late 70s now. And it's a fascinating and very, very different telling of history. I'm speaking with Jamie Bricker. She is the president of the board of the Skagway Traditional Council, and they are a federally recognized tribe. And we started off with a bit on their cultural host training program, which is about helping individuals who are guiding and providing interpretation for our summer visitors good information and secure, faithful information about Alaska Native tribes and people. Would you like to jump back into that little thread, Jamie? We're kind of on our way out here, running up to 9 o'clock, and feel free to add anything in there that relates to the cultural host training program that we started with.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to encourage people to reach out to me if you have any questions, but there's also information about the training events posted regularly to skagway.com/events. And you can register through the Skagway Traditional Council's website. I still have space for our next class, which is this Friday, March 29th, from 1 to 5 p.m. And I would love to have anybody who's interested in attending be there with us. And it is also a certificated program, so this is something that you can add to your resume for, personal development or training for staff, for those people that own a business and would like to get some training for their staff. This is great workforce development.
Great. Now I have your cell number here. Do you want to throw that out there too? Is that fair game? Or do you have a different number that you'd like to leave people with?
Sure. Yeah. My cell phone number is 907-612-0120. And I can also be reached via email at bricker1@skagwaytraditional.org.
All right. Well, let me just kind of rattle that off. There's going to be a training. It's coming right up. It's going to be in 4 days for the cultural host training. And the ways to connect are by phone, 907-612-0120. That's to connect directly to Jamie Bricker, president of the board of directors for the Skagway Traditional Council. People can also go to skagway.com/events. And of course, the Skagway Traditional Council's website is also probably front and center as a place to connect with the cultural host training program. Jamie, it's been a wonderful moment here with you.
Thank you so much for thinking of us for this piece. We appreciate it.
All right. I'm speaking with Jamie Bricker from the Skagway Traditional Council here for our nonprofit spotlight. Thanks, Jamie. See you around.
Goodness sheesh.
Goodness sheesh.